What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Now, it is National Reconciliation Week this week. Now, this is a time for all Australians to learn about our shared histories, cultures and achievements, and to explore how each of us can contribute to achieving reconciliation in Australia. And joining me on the line this afternoon is Colin Battersby and also Reverend Mitchell Garlett. Good afternoon to both of you.
Good afternoon. G'day, Mike.
Good to talk to you guys. Hey, thanks for being available today. Firstly, to you, Mitchell, can you share a bit about your background and what reconciliation means to you?
Yeah, sure can, Mike. I'm a proud Whadjuk Ballardong man. I have a wife, five children, four boys and one daughter. Their names are Seelan, Lorenzo, Mitch Jr., Clarence and Frida. I also have a grandson. His name is Kian. I was brought up in a Christian home. My mum and dad, my dad was an ordained minister in Uniting Church. I think about 30 years. We've lived at a very young age. We lived down south in Pingerley. We've lived in Darwin and up on Mornington Island as well in the Gulf of Carpentaria. But I've always, called Kublup home, and that's where my placement is in the Uniting Church. In the very same house that I grew up in. For reconciliation, what it means to me, it's a very powerful question we can think to ourselves about. But this word reconciliation for me, it means the coming together of people, the coming together on mutual ground to make life a bit easier for yourself and those around, and more importantly for the generations to come.
Yeah, it's so important. Colin, did you want to add anything to that about, I guess, more specifically what reconciliation means to you?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Look, I just, it's great to have Mitch on today. I've got to know Mitch a little bit over the last little bit, and I knew his dad as well, and he was a wonderful man of God, and learnt so much from him, just his wisdom and knowledge. And I think the key thing for me with reconciliation, it's about taking that slow, continual walk alongside others where we're listening, we're learning, we're sharing together, sharing our stories, being open to change. So hearing the stories of Mitchell and other Indigenous leaders, it challenges your own view of our history in Australia, but also the gift of Indigenous culture to us and the opportunity that we have, I think, before us as a nation to embrace that. Not to shy away from the past, but to actually think how we can move forward together in friendship. And so, yeah, that's sort of what it means to me.
So good. Well, I'll put you guys on hold. You're okay to hang on a bit longer? We'll come back and we'll come back and talk some more.
Yep, that's all right.
Good on you guys. All right, that's all right. We've got Reverend Mitchell Garlett on the line and also Colin Battersby as we are talking about National Reconciliation Week this week. Back after this one. On 98.5, it is National Reconciliation Week this week, and joining me on the line today is Colin Battersby and also Reverend Mitchell Garlett. It's good to have you guys on today. Now, the theme for this year is Be Brave, Make Change. What does that involve, do you think, about being brave? First of all, to you, Mitchell.
about being brave, I think being brave, it's for me, it's being bold enough to stand up for what you believe in is right. And don't let anything deter you from that. Being brave, know for my people, for the young people, this word for this year, being brave, it means it's time for you to lift your heads up. Lift your heads up and walk with pride in knowing that there's progress being made. Being brave to make change, is to know that you're not alone, but also the people who don't have a voice, there's people that have to be brave for them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good, Mitchell. Colin, did you want to add to that? Were you got any thoughts on the theme for this year about be brave, make change?
I think particularly for non-Indigenous Australians, I think there's a real challenge to us at this time in history. We see with the Uluru Statement and with all of the challenges that we face in terms of dealing with racism, with ensuring that we stand alongside our Indigenous brothers and sisters when there's truth-telling to be done and justice to be done, we need to be able to sit in the discomfort of our history a little bit and be bold and brave to actually say, no, what have I done? What can I do? How can I reconcile with my own history? Because I think our own experiences and our own privilege sometimes has actually impacted Indigenous people in this country. And so for us, it's really looking in the mirror and saying, how have I been a part of the problem? But also, how can I learn and listen and be a part of standing alongside Indigenous voices and supporting them? Because they are brave. They're bold and courageous people. Whenever I've connected with communities across Australia, they've had many challenges and yet they've been able to stand. And it's time for us as non-Indigenous Australians, whether you're here as a first generation Australian or you've been here for many generations, it's an opportunity for us to come together and to be bold and say that we have a different history, but we can come together if we acknowledge our past and move forward. And so just taking that time to address those things which we need to address, and don't shy away from the discomfort. Sometimes we like to hide from that, but we need to stand up. And I think the Uluru Statement and what our new Prime Minister has done is a really great example of the steps that we can take to stand alongside our Indigenous brothers and sisters.
So good, Colin. Look, I'll put you guys back on hold. We'll come back and chat some more. Guys, we just were talking about the theme for this year, Be Brave and Make Change. How can individuals look to make change in their day-to-day lives and in their own home to help bring about reconciliation, do you think? First of all, to you, Mitchell.
Yeah. I think one of the big things that would be a great help is for individuals to become educated more. I think it to be involved in more community events, to learn more, to get a better understanding of the different cultures, the different way of life, to get an understanding of the meaning behind, you know, the true history and how we can make things different, how we as individuals can make a contribution in building relationships with one another. Day-to-day lives in their own homes. I think the biggest impact that we can have is what goes on behind closed doors in our homes. Conversations that are had at the dinner table. I think there should be more education for our young people. As parents, to think about what would be better in this world for when my child or when my children get older.
Yeah.
How are they going to be getting on with others? How are they going to be looking at others differently? What can we do now to change that? Yeah.
Now that's good, Mitchell. Colin, did you want to add anything to that about how can individuals look to make change in their just the, our day-to-day lives and their our own homes?
Look, yeah, I think Mitch summed that up beautifully, just in terms of what happens behind closed doors. I think particularly for those that have got kids at home and maybe even teenagers, you know, they're sponges. They're watching their parents. They're watching adults to see how we have conversations about things we've seen on TV or on the news or things that have happened during the day and how we talk about other groups of people and whether they're positioned not as people out there but actually as friends, whether as people that we've invited into our own home or we've, as Mitch said, going out to events, going out and learning about different people groups and realise actually they're just like us in many ways. And so part of that is modelling that in our own homes. So having a home of a hospitality, of encouraging those conversations, I think, around the table. Around what does it look like when, well, how does it feel? Would it feel for you if you were in this situation or if there was something racist that was said towards you or if you had this happen in your home? So it's really important to build on what the schools are beginning to teach a lot more on now. It's really exciting to see and encourage you to see many Indigenous teachers and program consultants going into schools now to actually share a bit more about history, our history in Australia. And it's important that that's supported by our conversations in the home as well.
It all sounds so simple, doesn't it? The way you guys are explaining that. Well, get you to hang on there a bit longer. On 98.5, this is Weekdays with Mike. Good afternoon. Joining me on the line today is Colin Battersby and Reverend Mitchell Garland as we are talking about National Reconciliation Week, which is this week. Firstly, to you, Mitchell, what does it mean for First Peoples to see Indigenous representation in the federal government?
Yeah, that means a lot. It means a lot. For me, it knowing as a Indigenous people, as a race, the hardships that we've been through, to see representation in the federal government, it means that we're beating the odds. Where the odds were against us, to have any success for these individuals, I take my hat off to them for their perseverance to have been able to push through the barriers of their past, from their elders, and for them to be able to move ahead in the way they did, not only for their own benefit, but to benefit the Indigenous people of this land. They've the perfect role models. It's a for our young people. It's showing them that the impossible is possible.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
In regards to beating the odds, and to know that you can make a difference.
Mm. Colin, did you want to add anything to that? What does it mean for First Peoples to see Indigenous representation in our federal parliament?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Look, I think I've been really encouraged by the recent results at the federal election, just the number of Indigenous leaders, not just in one party, but across the spectrum of political parties. It was such an encouraging and inspiring thing to see. And I know each one of them will have a real passion and a heart to drive change and to see change for their own communities. And it's really important, I think, for us to know that just as non-Indigenous people all have different perspectives and views, each of those Indigenous representatives will have particular concerns and things that drive them. And so it's important that whenever we're talking about Indigenous representation, there's real individuality in that as well. It's not just a homogenous group. It's really important for us to know the diversity within Indigenous communities. And I'm really feeling heartened that we have, with the Voice to Parliament, which is on the agenda now, there'll be a real opportunity for local decision makers, for grassroots community-led decisions to be made in the future, particularly when there's a lot of regional consultation that happens around the Voice. It's very much not just about happening in Canberra, it's about engaging with different Indigenous people groups across the country and language groups to make sure that they can determine their own future. And I think that's the key, is that they're best placed to determine what they want for their community, because they know their communities. And it's so important for us to step back from our view of things and to think, well, actually, they've been running their communities for many years. They just need the opportunity to do that with the resources and with the investment that they need to be able to do that effectively without that top-down structure. So I'm really encouraged, both from a federal level but also from a local level. Yeah, got to hear Ben Wyatt the other day at Fred Cheney's launch of his reconciliation memoirs. So the journey of Fred Cheney is a great example of a non-Indigenous man who's walked alongside many Indigenous political leaders and friends over many years and continues to work in that space. And it's been really wonderful to see the legacy of people like him and others that have gone before us, including Mitchell's dad, who was a really important part of the Native Title agreement that happened to our WA government recently. So that, yeah, things like that are really important to remember, and to remember that we've still got a way to go.
Yeah. Guys, I'll put you back on hold. We'll come back and wrap things up, if that's okay. You're okay to hang on a bit longer there. We'll play a song, come back and chat some more. Joining me on the line this afternoon is Colin Battersby and Reverend Mitchell Garlett, as we've been talking about National Reconciliation Week, which is this week. Back after this. You're on at 98.5. This is Weekdays with Mike. Joining me on the line today is Colin Battersby and Reverend Mitchell Garlett, as we've been chatting about National Reconciliation Week this week. Guys, just to finish off our chat today, to you both, and firstly to you, Mitchell, what's it going to take, do you think, to see true reconciliation in Australia, and what is your hope for change?
A while ago now, I heard a powerful statement as a man of God. Person said the statement that we aren't truly reconciled with God until we are reconciled with one another.
Wow.
That stuck with me and challenging me for a long time, and it's going to for a long time. That's a powerful statement.
Yeah, it is.
What do we need to do to continue this? All these questions, just kept popping up from this one statement.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, what is the hope for, my hope for change? It'll have to be where everyone is truly respected for who they are, where they come from, their beliefs. But reconciliation together as first and second peoples of this land, if we start building the right relationships, start building on the foundations that were laid down, together we can take control of our destiny. Of our destiny, of who we are as a country, take control of our destiny together, of where we want to go.
Yeah.
Living in harmony and, more importantly, living together in truth.
It's good. Colin, you got any thoughts on, as we wrap up today, what's your thoughts on what's it going to take to see true reconciliation in this nation, and what's your hope for change?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I loved what Mitch just said then, just around the importance of truth, of reconciling through friendship and relationship. And I think the opportunity we have before us is so great. Like, there's so many rich gifts and wisdom within the Indigenous community, the world's oldest living continuous culture. And so for me, it looks like yarning around a campfire. It looks like working with our colleagues in the office that are Indigenous and being friends with them. It looks like learning a bit of language, learning about bush tucker, learning about our environment from a custodian perspective, from the Indigenous people. It's about every part of our life being informed and enriched by those Indigenous brothers and sisters we get to meet, but also a deeper understanding and respect for those we haven't met yet. And I think it's going to take courage, to reconcile with the history still. There's still stuff that needs to be addressed, and the misunderstanding sometimes and the bias. And we need to also have an openness, I think, of humility and walking together, seeking to understand before we are understood. I think that's a real principle to live by. And just as Mitchell said, you know, that sense of wanting to be reconciled with God, God works through people as they reconcile to each other. And I think that's a really key thing that for the church communities out there and those who are wanting to deepen their relationship with God, then one of the best ways to do that is to deepen your relationship with our First Nations people in Australia.
Yeah, Colin, look, we are out of time, but we really appreciate you coming on and sparing your time today and having a chat about National Reconciliation Week. It's so important, and we give you thank you so much for coming on and sharing today.
Thanks, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Yep. Thank you, Mike.
Absolute pleasure. Joining me on the line this afternoon has been the Reverend Mitchell Garlett and also Colin Battersby, as it is National Reconciliation Week this week, and it is a time for all Australians to learn about our shared histories, cultures and achievements, and to explore how each of us can contribute to achieving reconciliation in this amazing nation. You're on at 98.5.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.